thousands elsewhere.
Sweeter name than the name of Jesus.
Greg, would you pray for the offering, please?
You can all be seated right now. I do want to make an announcement. I just asked Brother Callum if I had the permission to do this. We have a tentative date for the 11th of a week from this Sunday for a candidate to be here to be in a Sunday morning service. So am I allowed to say his name? I can say his name. Titus Johnson, he's a youth pastor at the church in Addison, Illinois. So he's close to home, and there's been a lot going on behind the scenes that we have been anxious to want to share with the church. So Brother Kellen and I have been conferring back and forth with Brother Brosom. He's heavily involved with this. This man that's coming to candidate, his family, comes highly recommended by Brother Brent Cawthorpe also. So we have a high endorsement from Brother Cawthorpe, Brother Brosom. He has the blessing of his pastor to come here and to candidate for this church. And when Brother Kellum and I and Brother Spann saw this resume, we were instantly excited. And we were excited to have this moment to say, this is the date that the wheels, everything's in motion right now. They've been in motion, but the fact that we can share this. So be in prayer for their family. This is a huge thing for them. This is a huge thing for us. I mean, if we just look at, oh, this is, what about us? This is a life-changing thing for a family to go from a church that they are attached and planted to and have they've grown to take a bold step of faith if God calls them here. So there's a lot to be in prayer about for this. one thing, yes, Sister Christy. Okay, I think we need to put that on the actual church one. Was it on the church one this week? Okay, he's at NAYC tonight with his family. But it's been up there, but we need to put it on Facebook. So just to get people's attention, a reminder, because next week it'll be on Facebook. So as a reminder. But we could put it on a breeze too, right? We're able to do both. One thing that I did not mention, I got a text from Sister Pat. She's got bronchitis. And I believe she's watching a couple of grandkids right now. Two of them? Is it two? Or at least Finley, for sure. Okay, she's got Finley there with bronchitis, and she wanted to bring Finley here. She wants to be here, so we need to pray for her. I want you to pray for me tonight. I felt like there was some major distraction and resistance on what I believe God wants me to share tonight. I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I'm not gonna go back on my heels on this. And I just as us as a church body, we could just we're doing this together tonight. I'm not here to give you something. I'm here to share something with you, but we're all going to benefit from this. So can we pray for Sister Pat and then pray for the remainder of our time together? Lord, I thank you for being here, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit, Lord, that is here. When your spirit is evident and is here, Lord, anything is possible and anything can happen. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the power of your presence, Lord, to be here, to be made manifest. Lord, touch my heart and my mind, Lord. Touch, Lord, my tongue in Jesus' name, Lord, that your word will go forth, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would bind, Lord, every distraction, Lord, everything that would hinder, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done, Lord, here in this very hour, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for Sister Pat, Lord, where she's at right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would strengthen and touch and heal her, Lord, of the bronchitis, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, as her heart's desire is to be here, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Titus Johnson, Lord, and that family, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that is coming here a week from Sunday, Lord, that is, Lord, we just, Lord, our daily, Lord, we need to bring this man and his wife to before your throne in Jesus' name, Lord. We need to pray for us as a church body, Lord, but Lord, we need to pray for this family, Lord, that is making this bold step, Lord, in faith in Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do for the rest of this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something that I got a thought a few weeks ago when I was at a camp meeting, and it's what I want to share with you tonight. And the thought is, God prepares and he goes before us. And there's a point that I want to make in that towards the end. But there's examples throughout Scripture where we see where God is a planner and a preparer, and nothing just happens accidentally. He just doesn't, it's 5 to 7. Okay, I know church is going to start in 5 minutes. I'm going to show up. You know, I'm kind of running late. God, he doesn't have that mindset. What he does is he thinks and he plans ahead, and he's ready to move. He's ready to do things. He's been ready for a long time. And if it were not so, we wouldn't hear those things spoken to us many years ago regarding this church, regarding us personally in our lives. God, if it was said, the unseen world has got a hold of it, and they're aware of it, because when God speaks and says he's going to do something, he's already thought about it, and he's already planning about it, and he's in a preparation process, and nothing is taking him by surprise. If anything, God has calculated everything. He's calculated our imperfections. He's calculated our human way of thinking. He's calculated every move in anticipation the enemy is going to make. He's got all that into play because he sees things. You know, we have this idea that the enemy is over us, but God is over the enemy. And when we pray, I was talking to Brother Mike last night. Sometimes we pray, and we pray earthly prayers. We pray for each other, and a lot of prayers that we've prayed, the requests that we prayed for are earthly prayers. You know, they're to one another. But God, if we could tap into where God is and we could reach out to him, reach up, look up, I believe we could pray beyond our earthly prayers and start praying kingdom prayers, praying bold prayers. It's good and important for us to pray to bring these needs before the Lord every week. We need that. Because we're encouraged when God answers those prayers. But I believe something's going to happen when we go beyond these earthly prayers and we go into kingdom praying. When we have this boldness and our mindset begins to change and God begins to elevate us. He goes, I'm going to call you to sit together in heavenly places. And when we get to those heavenly places, we're going to be able to look at things from a different perspective. We're going to be able to look at things even where the enemy is and say, the enemy is there and I was there and I was all fretting over that. That was not a big deal at all. I wasted so much time in my life worrying and bracing myself for what the enemy was trying to do to me. what a waste of time. But when I begin to allow God to elevate me to higher things, to kingdom-minded things, my perspective begins to change, and none of this is in my notes. I feel like God is here to minister to us tonight. This is totally out of the box. None of this is even on here that I've looked at the past three nights. So I want to talk about the preparation process. By definition, it's the action or process of making ready or being ready for or use of consideration. An illustration, the best way I could describe it is preparing for the Olympics. And an election for a host city takes place every 7 years before the games even start. The bid process is launched 9 years before. There's two phases to this. The first is the applicant phase, and when they advance from this phase, they go to the candidate phase. And the city has to come up with a city blueprint for the Olympic Games. They come up with legal binding letters saying that they will build the city to the plans to host these games. When the host city is elected, the contract is signed. 7 years and $51 billion later, Russia, it was in Russia, they were ready to host the 2014 Winter Olympics. Athletes would prepare for years to go to the Olympics. Michael Phelps would do 2 4-hour training sessions every day with a 12,000-calorie-a-day diet to prepare for the Olympics. I remember, I'm using this as an example, in the preparation process, Spencer would work at, he had a job at Panera, and he said he would go in there and he would train for every phase of that restaurant and be in a bakery. They go in at 11 o'clock at night. All the bakers go into Panera at 11 o'clock at night for the doors to open at 6 a.m. to have all the baked goods ready. And he told me a while ago, just after school got out, he would cater for 500 people. And he goes, there's a day I had to go there. The alarm bell set at 3:30 a.m. and there's 500 people going to be here ready to eat. And so he had to get there and prepare for all these people. And I'm just thinking, man, that is a massive thing to take place. But it's the preparation and the process before the people come in and gather in to enjoy the food that's going to be laid out there. A lot takes place before then. So a lot takes place before we see things with our own eyes that God has been preparing for us. He's been preparing for things for this church for a very long time. And the enemy is not going to take it lightly what's happening here. He's not going to take it lightly when somebody's getting their breakthrough. I'm anticipating that. And Brother Mike, I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's going to happen. And more people are going to get their breakthrough. And I see people getting their breakthrough before they get it. And I'm excited about that. I'm encouraged by that. And I'm anticipating with you for your breakthrough. Expectation happens before the miraculous, and I'm expecting. I'm going to praise him in advance, and I'm going to thank God for the breakthrough. There are so many breakthroughs that God is going to do in this place. And you're going to go from victory to victory. You're not going to say, I've waited all these years for this breakthrough, for God to do something in my life. You know what? That is just the beginning. He's in the mind-blowing process. He wants to blow our minds continually. He doesn't want you to just get a breakthrough in one area of life and say, well, I'm going to manage this area of my life. I can control this chaos. I can handle this on my own. God, I don't want to give this all to you. But God says, give it to me, and I want to give you victory in this area, in the area that you're trying to handle. He goes, release control of that, and I want to give you victory in that area as well. And I'm expecting victory to victory. Us going from faith to victory in this together as a church body. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to see people get their breakthroughs. We're going to see God do things miraculously in our life, thinking, God, I was almost embarrassed to even pray that bold of a prayer, but God, you answered it. And then we're going to be bold enough to pray big prayers again because we're going to go from earthly to heavenly. We're going to have heavenly-minded, kingdom-minded prayers. God says, I want to take you higher. I want to change your perspective on things. You're looking at things from this level, from an earthly point of view, from a parallel. He goes, I want to take you vertical. You've been looking out. I want you to look up. And when you look up, I want to spend time with you so that you are able to look down. I want to put some things under you. I want you to have the victory. God wants us to have the victory in our lives. He wants us to live victorious. Victory to victory. Not survival mode, but thrive mode. I don't want to survive. I'm not in this just to make it to heaven. Just to walk through the doors and just struggling with my clothes all torn. Oh, I just made it.
I want to go in there and say, I made it. I went from victory to victory. I overcome every test and trial, everything that the enemy put against me. That did not stand in my way. I'm going to take a bold move. I'm going to keep moving forward in this. But we're going to, well, I'm not doing this alone, Brother Kellen, because I'm going together. You're coming with me. I'm coming with you. We're coming together, boldly going from victory to victory. Amen.
I better get into this. I'm going to totally get off track. There's examples in the Old and New Testament where God goes before his people to make a way when there is no way at all. He is in that preparation process. He is a thinker and he's a planner. In John 14, 2 and 3, it says, in my house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is 2,000 years ago. He's in the preparation process, and we're still here. He has been doing a lot of planning and a lot of preparing for us when he's ready to take us home. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. We will never grasp it with this mindset. It's just, when we get there, it'll just be, God, this is beyond what we ever thought. But my motivation is, I'm going, and we're going together. I'm going to take some with me. I'm going to take some with me that aren't here today. God wants to advance. He wants us to advance. This earthly mindset is a maintaining mindset. God says, I want to advance you. I want you to move forward. I want you to look up, and I want you to hold on to me so you're able to look down. I want you to see things. You know, that's why he's only able to prophesy in part, because it is more than we can handle. God is only able to give us things a little bit. So he goes, if I told you everything, it is more than you could handle. You're going to have to trust me on part of this. That's where faith comes in. Man, I don't know what is happening right now. This is the expectation before the miraculous. This is the expectation before the revival. This is the expectation before this house is filled. This is the expectation before we are at capacity. This is the expectation before family members walk through these doors. This is the expectation when people are lined up to be baptized in Jesus' name. This is the expectation when we see children over here that are praying on a Sunday morning that we've seen week after week praying through to the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night. Why not? Why not it be on a Wednesday night? Why not we have that expectation on a Wednesday night? I come here with that expectation. We need to be bubbling. I need to be at home on a Saturday night thinking, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I cannot sleep at night. I can't even go to bed. I'm going to have to drink some coffee in the morning when I wake up before I get to church, because I lost sleep thinking about, God, you are going to blow our minds here in this place. But Lord, may it transcend. May I move past that. May it just be, I'm expecting it on a Sunday morning, Lord, but on a Wednesday night, on a midweek service, may Sister Connie come up upstairs and say, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit downstairs, and kids are being prayed through to the Holy Ghost. That's the expectation that I want to have. That's where God is going before us, and he's had this planned all along. There's something that God, the point I'm going to get to, I'm trying not to jump ahead right now. But this is going to make total sense here in a few minutes. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. It says, the Philistines heard that David had been anointed and became king of Israel, and the enemy came looking for David. But David had two things going for him. He has the presence of God, and he had a prayer life. He spoke to God and heard from him clearly. It wasn't one of those things where I kind of think I heard from you. I kind of wonder, God, should I do this? Should I go this far, or should I stay here? I'm really not sure. I don't have clarity. David was able to speak to God and communicate with him to where he didn't guess about nothing. He didn't second guess or question God on anything, because he heard clearly. He did not leave his prayer closet until he heard exact instructions of what to do and what not to do, how to do it and how not to do it, when and when not to do it. That's what he got in his prayer closet before he came out. I want that clarity in my prayer life. I want that clarity to, oh, God, I heard you. I know exactly what I need to do when I walk out of my prayer closet. I know exactly what I need to do when I walk into the workplace in the morning.
I know exactly what I need to do when I walk into the house of the Lord. And I know exactly who do I need to encourage when I walk into the house of God. I need to know who I need to wrap my arm around and say, you're not in this alone. We're in this together. I got clarity from from God in my prayer closet. It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Berapazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as a breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Berapazim, and there they left the images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came yet up again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, circle around behind and attack, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going on the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bester thyself, for then shalt the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David knew he was a target. David did not say, oh, I'm going to brace myself. I feel like I'm being attacked again. He had an aggressive mindset. His first response is, I need to go ask God what I should do. But I'm not going to be reactive and worry. And how many times do we in our human nature say, oh, I feel like the attack of the enemy. I feel like the clouds are getting dark in my life, and I just need to hold on for my life until the storm passes. And I just need to just get a grip until the enemy just, I'm not going to say anything. If I just keep my mouth shut, he'll go away. David had an aggressive approach. They were coming after him, and he says, God, what do I need to do to take care of this problem, the enemy? I'm going to take this thing head on. I'm not going to hunker down. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to go in a foxhole, but I'm going to take an aggressive approach. And I'm gonna take care of this thing. The enemy has come against me personally. It was a personal attack. It was an attack against Israel. He was just anointed king. And I got thinking about this. We're about ready to, in a very short time, vote for a pastor of this church. Don't you think the enemy is going to be all excited about this? We need to hold him up in prayer. We need to have an aggressive mindset. I'm going to pray over this family, no matter who this family is going to be. I'm going to take an aggressive mindset. And when I see the enemy trying to rear his head up and try to attack, no way. I'm going to put up a shield of faith, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to block the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to block this. And we need this for each other. We need to do this and stand in the gap for each other. That's why I said Sunday morning, it is so important for us to pray, for us to look and have a vision and see every one of us. And I can see every one of you here tonight, and I know where you all sit every week because we all sit in the same place. And we need to just have a vision and say, God, I'm going to pray for Brother Mike and Sister Angie. And I need to pray for Brother Sister Kellum. I need to pray for Sister Davis. And I go around and see Sister Jane Moyer sitting over there and pray for them. Lift us up a prayer every week. Hedge of protection, a hedge of thorns around my church family. Not just to survive, but to thrive. I don't want to just make it. I want to make it. I want to make it jumping and shouting. That's why I don't understand people that are quiet when they. There is no such thing as quiet worship in heaven. It is going to be loud. He said it's a roar. There is nothing quiet about it. If you could hear a pin drop, and when they call it worship, go get out of that place and go find a place where you can feel the presence of the Spirit of God. Because we're going to go from this place to a heavenly place. If it's loud here, just wait till we get to heaven. It's going to be louder. I don't want it to be quiet here. I want there to be a holy roar in this place. He's given me a reason to have a holy roar, to be honest with you. I never had a reason to sit there and keep my mouth shut and not praise him. I've never had a storm bad enough in my life. I never had somebody treat me bad enough to where I'm going to go sit down and not say nothing to nobody. And, Lord, I'm not going to worship you tonight because I'm not really feeling it because I just had a bad day. I had a bad week. I had a bad hair year. You know, I'm not going to let this happen. God, you've been too good to me. You've seen me through it. You've made a way when there was no way. Lord, my knees were working. I was about ready to fall, but you picked me back up. You didn't let them fall. When I felt like falling, I fell right into your arms. I didn't fall and hit the ground. I didn't get crushed. He held me up. He picked me up. He goes, I got more for you. You got this. I got you. Let's just keep moving forward. Let's have that forward mindset. God's got a forward mindset. I want to have a mindset like him. Lord, you're going to prophesy in part. You're only going to show me so many things, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hold your hand, and you're going to take us from victory to victory. And I'm just, I pray for the gift of faith to be released in this place. We need faith to be released in this place. We need faith to go with us when we leave this place. And we need faith and expectation to be with us when we enter back in this place again. Faith, expectation, week after week, every day. We need to be, when we see each other at the store, we need to just be bumping into each other. I am so excited what's happening at church. Brother Kellen and I, we're so giddy with what's been going on, and we've been waiting to share it. And we're just like, I really want to share it with this church. God's been, his wheels are in motion. He's a preparer. He's a planner. Nothing took him by surprise. This is good stuff. David prayed and was specific. He asked the Lord if he should fight this battle. David saw what was happening, and he did not take that approach of reactiveness, but a proactive approach and prayed to hear God's response. When he listened and he heard and went in how to fight the battle, when you hear the sound of marching feet and the tops of the poplar trees, be on alert. That will be a signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. God was preparing to go ahead. That's what he does. And I could just see it. God, he's fighting my battles. All I got to do is wait. He's already given David the win. He says, wait. Can you imagine being there at night? And it's all silent. You hear crickets, and there isn't one leaf blowing. And you hear the clear direction from God. And he says, when you hear the wind, when that wind blows on top of those trees, there's an army that's already going ahead of you. Whew. I'm going ahead of you. I already had this plan. I already had that. You've been attacked. And the enemy reared its head up, and he goes, I've already got a plan for that too. We've been attacked before. Have we not been attacked before? God says, I got a plan for that second attack too. He goes, you just wait on me for a second. He goes, I got this. Just be still. That wind is not blowing right now, but when that wind blows, I'm going to take care of business. All you're going to do is go in and say, what happened? It was a God thing. He took care of business. But that doesn't keep us from having a fighting mentality. We got to get rid of this mentality of having to brace ourselves when we are under attack. We need that aggressive approach. We need that shield of faith every time when we get together. When I will get out of bed, I need that shield of faith. I need to have so much faith that people would be calling me and texting me throughout the day. Will you pray for me? Because last time you prayed for me, something happened that day. It was not an accident that when my life was falling apart, when I went to work the day before and I asked you to pray for me about this person being just totally erratic and out of control, and I felt like just this person was come upon me, but I asked you to pray for me, and that person was like totally different when I walked into work the next day. That's the power of prayer. It wasn't my prayer, but it was the God who I prayed to that took care of the business. And that's where I get my boldness and confidence from, is the God that I pray to. David went from victory to victory. In Exodus 23:20-22, it says, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto the enemies, to thine enemies, and an adversary to thy adversaries. It was before this, when they came out of Egypt, and I got thinking about this today, and this was years ago, and I was given a home Bible study, and remember when they came out of Egypt, and they were thirsty, and didn't have anything to drink, and they went to the water, and the water was bitter, and they threw a branch in the water, and I remember being at somebody's house that day, that same day in the afternoon, when I read this in a home Bible study.
with somebody, and God told me, you need to throw something before the Lord. And I had no idea what it was. This is totally separate. It's just, I got thinking about this today when I was reading this. And it was years ago. And God is able to use us at any time when we are in the Word. Here's the thing. The fear of God is a powerful thing. And we need to have a healthy fear of God. And there in that scripture, it says, have a reverence. I need a reverence for God. If his goodness and mercy follow me, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. In the unseen world, that's got to be just a terrifying thing. We see things through these eyes. In the unseen world, with those things that we're battling in our minds, the things that we cannot see, when the enemy sees that we have a healthy fear of God and he sees this angel just around about this all the time, they got to be totally terrified of us, because God, that's how God protects and takes care of his people. I need a healthy fear of God in my life every day. There's wisdom in it. There's so much to be gained in that, to have a healthy fear of God. I can't stress that enough. There are three promises made to Israel. It's promised that they would be guided and kept their way through the wilderness to the promised land. I have promises for you. The wilderness is not your destination, but it's your way through to the promised land. But God's people had to do their part and be obedient to his voice. They had to maintain that healthy reverence and fear. It's our responsibility to maintain a healthy fear of God. Secondly, it's promised that they would have a comfortable settlement in Canaan. But they were told not to be distracted, just keep their focus on God. And thirdly, they were promised to overthrow the enemy. God made the blueprint. God is faithful to do his part if we are faithful to do ours. And the point that I'm going to try to get to here pretty soon, I might have to just skip ahead, is God is a preparer and planner. He's always doing his part. And it's evident when we see it, when we look back. I have a responsibility. God is always not short on fulfilling his part. I have a responsibility to fill my part. God went before Daniel to shut the lion's mouth because Daniel had a consistent prayer life. It's in Daniel 6 and 22. It says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. God will take care of us when we take care of our relationship with him. I don't need to worry about nothing. If I'm prayed up and prayed through before I leave my house, I should not have to worry about nothing. That spirit of worry should not even be evident. If I do worry before I leave my house, I'm not ready. I did not pray through enough. I did not get clarity. I did not get peace of mind. That sound mind is of God. Anything other than that sound mind is not of God. And I need to be empowered. And there's something to be said about being empowered by his spirit. I don't need my cup half full. I need it to the brim. If anything, I need to let it spill over. It's okay for God's spirit to be within us to be kind of messy. It's good to be a mess. It's not, you know, good to have a cup of Kool-Aid to the brim and then walk it across new carpet and over the couch. But it's okay to be full of the Spirit of God and have it overflow in your life and have it spill on somebody in the workplace, to have it spill over to a family member. I need that overflow. I need that. I need the power of his presence every day in my life. And that is my responsibility to do that. I'm responsible for me being, for my cup being full. He is ready to pour out. I need to say, God, Lord, I'm not leaving here. Lord, I'm not leaving here until I get clarity from you. I'm not leaving here until I am empowered by your spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, there is too much in this world for me not to walk out of my house without this cup being full. Lord, I need to be full every day. I need to be full of you every day. God does this. He's a planner. He goes, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I'm going to move over to the NLT version for the next few verses. Mason won't have this up on the board. It says, they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush the fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I will go before you. You do this. You stay underneath the shadow of me. It's my responsibility to stay underneath the shadow of the Almighty. God is not responsible for us if we walk away from him. If we get away from him, to his protection. There's a lot of people that are away from his protection that have been at these altars, that have been baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. God, he's not responsible for them when they walked away from him. But I have a responsibility to stay close to him, to have my walking relationship with him every day. He says he will do that for me if I stay close to him. I need to stay underneath that shadow. I need to be protected. The enemy is looking for me. He's looking for who he can devour here today. But I'm underneath the shadow of the Almighty. He can't see me right now. He doesn't know what's happening in this place tonight because we're underneath the shadow of the Almighty. And as he's confused. He's eager to find out what happened, who said what here tonight. But he can't because we're underneath the shadow of the Almighty here tonight. We are in top secret meetings here tonight. The enemy was not allowed to come in here. He did not have permission. This is a closed door meeting. The enemy he's not even on the premises. To be honest, he's not here. He can't be here. We're underneath the shadow of the Almighty, and we have orders to stay underneath that shadow so God will go before us and protect us. He plans and prepares to do all that for us if we stay underneath the shadow. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I want to be where X marks the spot. When the Holy Ghost falls, I want to be where it falls. Where does it fall? I got to read another scripture. It's in Acts 10 and 44. That's where it was. Peter giving a whole Bible study to Cornelius. He goes, why, Peter, yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. The word was being spoken. The Holy Ghost fell when the word was being spoken. The Holy Ghost fell. Small groups. Sister Graham, small groups. I've just talked to some people that are some people in the UPC that are in Spanish, where people are getting Holy Ghost in people's houses. It's happening. That same God who did it in Cornelius' house where the Holy Ghost fell, it's falling on people's houses. I don't want to give up on the small group thing. I want a breakthrough in small groups, to be honest with you. It may seem like nothing's happening right now, but I'm expecting a breakthrough in small groups. I'm expecting somebody to just show up. I'm expecting somebody hungry and eager to say, I want what you have. There's something different about you. There's something peculiar about you. I want what you have. I want to make this statement because I heard this, Jerry Staton, he's a Metro Missions church planner in Washington, D.C. And this has to do along the lines with just being empowered by his spirit. And this is his wife doing something nice to some new converts in the church. And this is the power of having the Holy Ghost power working within us. She had a box of shoes that she gave to some new converts. And this is an example of what it's like to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
All right.
She said, Sister Staton, we put on your shoes. New converts, okay? When we put on your shoes, I didn't feel right wearing the clothes I wore anymore. I wanted to change my dress. Can you imagine being so empowered by God that when somebody else puts on your shoes that you gave the goodwill, that you see those shoes and when you look down and say, I remember those shoes, I used to wear them. This man's at the altar tonight. What's wrong with being empowered like that? What's wrong with being so empowered that at the shadow somebody is healed? What's wrong with being so empowered that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover?
I want to be so empowered, but that is my responsibility to be empowered by the Spirit of God. God has gone and made a way when there is no way. That way in the desert, that way in the wilderness, he goes, I needed to get alone for a while, but that's not my destination. I come out of there to be empowered, to see the sick healed, to see the lame walk again, to see the deaf ears open and the blind eyes to see. I came here to see those people. I was moved with compassion. And the reason why I moved is because I want to see their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be moved. I want to be empowered. I want to be in position for when the Holy Spirit falls. Where X marks the spot, it's where the word of the Lord is being spoken and preached, Brother Kellum. And whether it's in a small group setting or it's in here on a Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost is able to fall here even tonight. I want it to fall on me. I want it to fall on me again. I want to be so empowered that people stop and look when we go into the restaurant tonight, when we go into Walmart tonight and say, where have they been? What is going on? You had such a God encounter. Did you have a Moses encounter? There's such a glow upon you. I've never seen this before. Where do you go? Where did you come from? Did you go to church on a Wednesday night? What church did you go to? I want to go there. I want to know more about this. I want to know more about your God. Because the God that we pray to and sing to at my church, they don't come out looking like you do. You're different. I want to be empowered by the Spirit of God. I want it to fall on me. It's falling. X marks the spot. Next destination, Pentecost, is 221 North Eddy. That's the next spot where X marks the spot, right here. We are coming out of the wilderness. We are getting our breakthrough individually, collectively as a church body. X marks the spot, Pentecost, 221 North Eddy. Can we stand and worship the Lord together? We may get hit and hit again, but I'm not playing battleship with the enemy. I'm in this to win. Not to survive, but to thrive. Not to get my God fixed from service to service. I need to be challenged. I need to be changed more than ever. I want to be right there when the Holy Ghost falls. I want to be on 221 North Eddy Street. I want to be on 1262 Kramer Lane. You speak the name of your residence here tonight and say, I want to be when the Spirit falls on my street. I want to be there when the Spirit falls in my house, when a small group Bible study happens on a Sunday night or on a Saturday night or an impromptu thing. I want to be there when X marks the spot. I want to recall how he did and what he did and share it with others. We have testimonies yet to share with this world. It only took two to turn the world upside down. I'm ready. What else do we have left? What else do we have to lose? What do we have to gain? Earthly prayers, they're good and necessary, but I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to go kingdom-minded. I'm ready for kingdom prayers. I'm ready to see things from a totally different perspective. I'm ready to be empowered when I leave here. I'm ready to be empowered here right now. I want the Holy Spirit to fall upon me. Let's worship the Lord together.
Oh, lift up your voice.